Can we praise God? Can we thank God for his goodness, for everything that he did in 2025, how he's been faithful, and into 2026. Amen. You can be seated. Happy New Year to everyone. And we're kicking off our first Sunday of the new year with our Family Sunday. For those that maybe don't know, our Family Sunday is where we have all our elementary age kids come up from their programming downstairs, and they're a part of the service up here. And we just believe that God uses kids to speak to us. God has something that he can speak to kids even up here. And so we like them to be able to be a part of what God's doing as a family. And so kids, I'm gonna need your help with something right off the bat, okay? Now don't be shy on me because everything hinges on this, okay? To start off the sermon today, we're gonna do this mental exercise, but what I need you to do is I need you to yell out an animal, but here's the thing. It can't just be a normal animal. It has to be kind of silly or creative or goofy, something like a tiger with polka dots or something like that, all right? And this is what we're gonna use to illustrate one of the main points of the sermon today. All right, so any brave soul, what's an idea? What's a crazy animal you can think of? A unicorn. Okay, good. Can someone think of something crazier? Something memorable? A yellow beaver. Anyone else? Yeah. A unicorn cheetah. Now that's pretty crazy. Maybe we'll do one more. A pink elephant. Wow, great. These are some really good ideas. I think we're going to go with the unicorn cheetah. I've never heard of a unicorn cheetah before. But here's what we're going to do. So we're going to do a challenge. The goal for 10 seconds is to do one thing. And it's to not think of a unicorn cheetah. All right, so here's how we're going to start off. Everyone raise your hand. Perfect. Now, when I say go, I'm going to start timing 10 seconds. And the moment that a unicorn cheetah pops into your mind, even if it's just a little bit, you have to lower your hand. All right. And I'm going to coach you through this. All right. On your marks, get set, go. Don't think of it. Don't think of it. Don't you dare think of it. A few more seconds. All right. You're good. So most of you failed. Congratulations to those who stuck it out. You are superhuman. Now, this might have seemed like a fruitless exercise, but it illustrates something that I think all of us can relate to. You didn't walk into church this morning thinking of a unicorn cheetah, but some of you may have walked in with heavier things on your mind, with things that have been weighing on your mind, maybe not just this past week, but maybe all of 2025, something that has been heavy on your mind. In other words, you know what it's like to fight the battle of unwanted thoughts knocking on the door of your mind. Unwanted thoughts knocking on the door of your mind. The thoughts could be a fear, maybe something saying that something bad's gonna happen to you, or anxiety from some situation that's arisen in your life. It could be a lie, the lie that God doesn't love you. God could never use you. Maybe the lie says your parents are out to get you. The lie that says you're alone and always will be. Maybe it's a temptation that says you need to lie to people about yourself so they'll really like you. Or maybe it's you should look at this or you should do this. And it's a temptation. You fill in the blank. There are many examples of these unwanted thoughts that will try to force their way into our minds. And much like how it can be so hard to not think of a unicorn cheetah, it can be so hard at times to get rid of unwanted thoughts, things that are heavy, things that are intrusive that we don't want in our mind, but they seem to pop up anyways. And so what do we do with that? What do we do? And that's what I want to talk about, is what to do when unwanted thoughts come knocking? What to do when unwanted thoughts come knocking? If there's anything that you want to change in this new year or take control of over this next year, I'm telling you, it's taking control of your thoughts. And here's why this is important. Our thoughts, they have a lot of power. Because our thoughts, they often shape how we feel, and how we feel often shapes our actions, the things that we do. You know, imagine for a moment that you're lying awake at night. And maybe some of you have experienced this and felt this, and the worry or the fear starts creeping in as those thoughts start coming your way again. It could be something in your mind that's saying you're failing your kids. You're not where you're supposed to be in life. Your marriage will never be what it could be anymore. Your life is insignificant. Maybe it's saying you're not smart or nobody at school likes you. Whatever it might be, what if you were to really ponder on those and start believing those thoughts? How would that begin to shape your days and your choices and your relationships? In Matthew 5, Jesus raised the stakes of what takes place in our minds when he taught us that sometimes even sin doesn't start with what we do, it starts on what we dwell on, what we begin to think about, what we allow to shape our minds. I heard a pastor say this one time, and it really stuck with me. He said, Satan is a headhunter, your mind is his battlefield, and your imagination is his trophy. Satan is a headhunter. Your mind is his battlefield. Your imagination is his trophy. Satan doesn't need your allegiance. He can do enough damage just by capturing your imagination, what goes on in your mind. That's why in Proverbs 4:23, it says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Talking about our desires, talking about our choices, and also the things that we think about and the things that we dwell on. Romans 12:2. It says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. And so if our thoughts have this much influence over our lives, if our thoughts can produce or feed the fear, the anxiety, the lust, the doubt, hatred, bitterness, or even lead me into sin, wouldn't it be so important we take control of our thoughts? Now, here's the difficulty in that. It's easy to say, well, you just have to control your thoughts and control your thinking. The hard part is, as our little exercise at the beginning proved, controlling our thoughts can be extremely difficult, specifically when we're trying to not think of something, right? Because when you try to not think of something, what happens? You think of it more. It's kind of like when you're anxious about something and you try not to be anxious, you just get, now you're anxious that you can't stop being anxious. It feeds itself. Now, here's where a distinction is important when it comes to our thoughts, because you can't control what comes knocking at the door of your mind, but you can control what you let in. And that's where the battle is many times. You can't control the things that will pop into your mind, but you can control what you choose to dwell on, what you begin to imagine, what you think on at length, what you entertain in your thoughts. And one of my favorite examples of this in scripture is in 1 Samuel chapter 30 with none other than King David. So if you have your Bibles, 1 Samuel chapter 30, we're gonna be reading the first 6 verses. A little bit of background leading up to this moment. This is the David who fought Goliath. So he's used to war. He's a man of war. And before he officially became king over Israel, David was the leader of a small group of men, and they would enter into different battles. They were warriors. He would lead this group of warrior men. And on one such occasion, they left their homes. They left their wives and their children home, and they went to go fight a battle with the Philistines. And when they come back home, something terrible had happened. A situation had unfolded while they were away. And in the midst of coming back to this tragedy, David gives us an example of how to face discouragement, how to face those unwanted thoughts those intrusive thoughts. And this is where the story picks up in verse 1. It says, now when David and his men came to Ziklag, this is their home, on the third day, the Amalekites had made a raid against the Negev and against Ziklag. The Amalekites are the enemies. So they had overcome Ziklag and burned it with fire and taken captive the women and all who were in it, both small and great. They killed no one, but carried them off and went their way. And when David and his men came to the city, they found it burned with fire and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him raised their voices and wept until they had no more strength to weep. David's wives had been taken captive, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because all the people were bitter in soul, each for his sons and daughters. And then we get to the key verse here. It says, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Now, we just have to picture this. David and his men, they come back, and they come back to their home, and everything is different. There might be smoke rising as things were burned. Nobody's there. Everyone that they had left, their loved ones were missing. Their possessions had been plundered. And now on top of it, these men that had fought with David, that like fought not with him, but by his side in the battles that they had, the wars that they had, they were through it through thick and thin. These men who had been with him, in their distress, they start to turn on David because they need someone to blame. And so they start talking of stoning him. Everyone's emotions are high. Their thoughts are running wild. And just try to put yourselves in the shoes of David for a moment. You know, what are some thoughts that you would think in this moment? What are some lies that would try to entrench themselves in your mind in a moment like this? What would be the first thought to come knocking at the door of your mind? David might have thought, God's abandoned me. How could God let this happen? Does he have no control in my life? Now I'm alone. My family's gone. My men want to stone me. Has God abandoned me as well? Maybe he thought, God promised that I would be king, but that's never gonna happen. I'm just a failure. I can't even lead my family and these men. How am I supposed to lead a nation? Right? All these lies, discouragements, doubts would have been deafening to David in that moment. And I'm sure you've probably had experiences like that before, where a situation in life or something that caught you really off guard and your mind is swirling and you can't even make sense of anything and you don't know what to do next. You can't even think straight, right? We've probably had moments like that. But at the end of verse 6, it says something that we need to pay attention to. It says, David strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. You see, his situation didn't change. What changed is what he gave his attention to. And I always thought that this was interesting because who does it say strengthened David? It said he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Now, his source of strength was God Almighty, but he had to turn his attention to this source of strength. Other translations of the Bible say that he strengthened himself with trust in the Lord his God. It was a turning of his attention, his turning of focus, turning of thoughts to the things of God. He didn't have control over what came knocking at the door of his mind, but he did have control over what he let in. In his moment of desperation, in his moment of discouragement and distress, he chose to trust. He chose God's promises over the devil's lies, God's strength over his weakness, God's direction over his confusion. And this is part of what renewing the mind looks like. And then David did something that was very important. He sought after God. The very next verses in 7-9 says, and David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, bring me the ephod. This is just a way that they inquired of God in the Old Testament. It says, Abiathar brought the ephod to David, and David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue after this band? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake and shall surely rescue. And so David set out. He didn't react on the moment. He sought God on the moment. He turned his mind to trusting and seeking God. Now, we're not going to read the rest of the story this morning, but God does come through for David and his men in a very big way. And if you want to read about it after service, I encourage you to do so. But regardless of the outcome, David models for us how not to be led by emotions in the moment, how not to be led by the wild thoughts that come knocking at the door of our mind, how not to make reactionary decisions, but rather turning our attention to God. And so to make this practical, what might that look like for us? What might it look like when we say, okay, turn our attention towards God? What is a practical way of doing that? There was a social psychologist in the 1980s that did some studies on mental processes, and he discovered something crucial. And to sum it up without using all the psychological jargon and the process, this is essentially what he found, that when you attempt to simply suppress negative thoughts or get rid of them, in other words, it actually makes those thoughts more frequent and more intense. By just trying to suppress, it makes it more intense. And you probably experienced that during the exercise. The more you try not to think of something, the more it wants to persist in your mind. And I can remember growing up as a early teenager or a little bit before, having experiences with intrusive thoughts that would, and this wasn't like passing thoughts, these thoughts that would be every day for weeks, months, even up to a year. Thoughts that would leave me feeling either shameful or fearful, out of control. And I remember trying to just not think about it. And it doesn't work. You can't just not think about something. And it was a long process, and it was discouraging. But what this social psychologist found is really simple. You have to redirect or replace thoughts. You don't just suppress a thought, you replace or redirect. Now, the cool thing is what psychology discovered, Scripture has been saying for 2,000 years. In Philippians 4, verses 6 through 8, a passage of Scripture that has been so encouraging to so many people, it says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think of these things. These are the things that we're to think about. Now, New Age spirituality, we live in a culture where people are, there's a lot of spiritual people. They're interested in spirituality, but just not Christian spirituality. New Age spirituality tells us we need to empty our minds. We just need to get rid of everything, suppress the thoughts. The Bible tells us, no, you need to fill your mind. You need to replace those thoughts with the things of God, with the promises of God, with good things, things that are lovely, the testimonies of God, thinking about how God has worked in your life and where he took you from and where he's brought you, thinking back to the cross where he died for our sins. If I ever begin to doubt the love of God, all I have to do is think about the cross where he removed all doubt when he died for me. Now, this is far from a self-help, you just have to think positive type message, because as a Christian, when we do this, we're not just filling our mind with good thoughts. We're exercising faith and trust in God. We are being active in our faith, just like how Scripture said that David strengthened himself with trust in his God. It's an exercise of faith But even more than that, we have a helper. You and I have a helper. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16, the Apostle Paul said, who's understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But he said, but we have the mind of Christ. In other words, we have access to his way of thinking. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And the Holy Spirit is not just empowering us to live right, he's empowering us to think right. It's not a self-help, I just have to do it myself. No, I have God himself helping me and giving me the mind of Christ and empowering me. But what if that thought keeps knocking? What if it keeps popping into my head, even as I try to fill my mind with godly thoughts? Because how many of you have had that before? You're like, well, I did read scripture and then it came back. Or I did pray and then it came back. So what do I do if it just keeps coming back? You keep doing it. Even if it doesn't seem like it's working, you keep doing it. Why? Because you eventually become what you give your mind to. You eventually become what you give your mind to. As you replace these unwanted thoughts, these lies, whatever it might be, with God's truth. Science actually shows that, to nerd out for a bit, that you cut these new neural pathways in your brain. In other words, your neurobiology, your body begins to make changes based on how you're thinking. It becomes easier over time. It becomes a part of you. You eventually become what you give your mind to. So let me end with a simple thought check that you can use anytime an unwanted thought comes knocking. And before we get into this, I just want to be clear about a couple of things. Firstly, as we go into this simple exercise that we can do, this is not a one-size-fits-all circumstances kind of thing. It's not a replacement for counseling or therapy if it's needed. It's not a replacement for accountability or confession if it's needed. It's one tool of many that God has given us to help us take control of our thought lives. But secondly, it's also not meant to minimize our losses or to suppress our emotions. Especially when we go through very hard things in life, of course, one of the first things that wants to run wild are our thoughts and our emotions. But in the passage we read, it says that David and his men wept until they were exhausted with weeping, and then he sought God. See, this, we need to mourn our losses. We can't suppress emotions. The point is not to pretend like my life isn't hard or something didn't happen. That's not the point. This exercise is specifically helpful in combating the lies of the enemy when he tries to take advantage of your vulnerabilities, when he tries to take advantage of your weaknesses during times of loss, during times of intense emotion. It's no way meant to minimize the things that we face. But this thought check, what's something we can do? And this is simple enough for a child to do, but it's also helpful and profound enough for us to do as adults. And I've found it helpful in my life. As I work in the student life department here at the school and I've had conversations with different students, I can't tell you how many times I've walked through with students this simple practice of taking control of our thoughts. I got this exercise from another pastor, and he said to ask yourself three questions. And if you're taking notes, I'd encourage you to write them down. Three simple questions. Number one, what's the thought? And they should be up here on the screen. Number one, what's the thought? Number two, what's the lie beneath the thought? And number three, what's the truth of Scripture? So number one, what's the thought? Number two, what's the lie beneath the thought? And number three, what's the truth of Scripture? So just to kind of give an example of what this might look like. Number one, what's the thought? Write down that intrusive thought, that feeling. Maybe it's something in your mind that's saying, I'm messed up, or I'm a bad kid, or I do wrong things and I'm never gonna be able to change. Okay, Now, it might be true that we've messed up. It might be true that we've done bad things, but oftentimes there's a lie that will try and attach itself to that. So then you go to the next step. Okay, what's the lie beneath the thought? If the thought is, well, I'm messed up, what's the lie beneath it? For some, it might be that, well, because I'm messy, God can't love me. No, that's a lie. For some, it might be, I'm defined by my mistakes, and I always will be. That's a lie. It might be, I'll always just be messed up, or I have no power to overcome this. All of them lies. Whatever your lie is, you identify it. And then thirdly, what's the truth of Scripture? Write out a Scripture that counters the lie. I would encourage you to memorize Scripture. I heard someone say this one time, you know, when it talks about the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit is memorize Scripture. When in the moments of fighting and battle, it's the Scriptures that we can pull and we can recollect and we can use in moments. So that moment that thought comes, we know the lie, boom, I've memorized the Scripture. I can go right to it. So remember the Scripture. It might be Romans 8, 38 and 39 that says nothing will be able to separate me from the love of Christ. It might be Romans 8, 1 says there's now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Whatever it is for you, identify the thought, the lie that's trying to attach itself to the thought, and then you replace it with, no, this is what the truth of Scripture says. And here's the thing. If we're expecting our emotions to change in the moment, it might not change the emotion. It might not feel like anything happened. But don't let that discourage you from being consistent with this, because remember, what you give your mind to is eventually what you become, and it gets easier. So this is an exercise that we can do all throughout the day, an exercise of faith, an exercise of trust. So what's been your unwanted thought this week, or maybe it's been this entire past year? What has it been that's been consuming your mind where you need to strengthen yourself? Or maybe continue to strengthen yourself by trusting God. Every time that unwanted thought comes into your mind, you don't just fight it head on and you change the channel. No, I'm not even gonna dwell on this. I'm changing the channel. You direct your attention to the truth of Scripture and you go about your day. And if and when the thought comes back 3 seconds later, because there are days like that, you turn to the same Scripture and you do it again and again and again. But those thoughts that knock at the door of your mind, they don't define you and they don't have to lead you. It's what you do with it. It's about what you replace it with. So keep at it. Be disciplined. You are not helpless. Remember, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We have Jesus at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. And he cares about our thought life. And he empowers us. He's given us Scripture. He's given us the means, the tools. You are a son and daughter of God, and the Holy Spirit helps us renew our minds and continually gives us the mind of Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand together. And if you're here today or even listening online and you've never placed your faith in Jesus, I want to invite you into something far greater than just the renewal of the mind. Because Jesus didn't just offer us a new mind, he offers us new life. And, you know, in all honesty, the renewal of the mind really starts when we've been given that new life. Jesus said it like this when he was talking with a religious leader named Nicodemus. He said, you have to be born again. You have to be born again. We were born once physically when we came into this world. But he's saying you need a spiritual rebirth, because no matter how much we try to change ourselves in this new year, no matter how much we try to change our thinking, no matter how much we try to change our actions, at the end of the day, none of it's going to get us closer to God. None of that is going to get us closer to God. That's why we need to be born again. Being born again is as simple as ABC. A is we admit we're sinners in need of a Savior. You know, I don't just need a new way to think. I need a new life. And that can only come from divine intervention. I can't think my way into a relationship with God or think my way into heaven, think my way into overcoming addictions, whatever it might be. I'm a sinner that's in need of a Savior, and I need divine intervention in my life. And that's where we get to be, which is believe that God provided that divine intervention through Jesus. When he sent him to the earth to die on a cross for our sins, and by believing in what he's done for us, he took the penalty that we should have had so that we could walk in freedom, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could have a relationship with God, something we could never do on our own. He did, and all I have to do is believe in that and trust in that. And then lastly, C is confess. Confessing Jesus as Lord of your life. This is the, many times it can be the hard part, right? It's easy to believe I'm messed up. It's easy to believe that, well, okay, I need someone else to do something for me. But living it day to day, that's the hard part. But the good news is we've been empowered. When we confess Jesus as our life, he doesn't say, okay, now try to figure it out. You've been forgiven, now figure it out. No, he's with us all along the way. And he changes us. He changes our actions, changes our thoughts, changes our desires. Many times people don't want to come to Christ because they want to hold on to something and say, I have to give this up if I really make Jesus Lord of my life. That's the wrong question, because when you make Jesus Lord of your life, he begins to change these desires, these things that you want to hold on so tightly to. All of a sudden, your heart becomes softened and it begins to change because you've chosen to make him Lord of your life. And the Bible says that when we admit and we believe and we confess, we are born again to new life. And you can make that decision today. Doesn't matter if you've been coming to church for 15 years. It's not church that saves you. It's a decision to become born again. And so if you've never made that decision, whether here or online, we're gonna pray a prayer right now, and I wanna just invite you to pray it with me. Nothing special about the prayer itself. It's just a heart that is admitting and believing and confessing, saying, God, I want this in my life. Would you come and would you change me? Would you come and would you empower me? So if you have never prayed that prayer, would you repeat after me? And I want to just ask us all to pray this out loud together so no one has to pray it alone. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, and my guilt, and you died for it. You faced hell for me so I wouldn't have to go. You rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, a purpose on earth, and a relationship with your Father. Today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper. And heaven is my home. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And if you prayed that prayer, man, we would love to know about it. We'd love to connect with you. We have our connect table out in the foyer where we'd love to give you next steps and be able to encourage you in this journey. So as we get ready to go into this closing song, just want to take a moment to pray for people that maybe it has been a heavy struggle. Maybe the battle of the mind in 2025 was rough. And one of your prayers coming in is that God would change things in this next year. You know, if it has been especially strong in your life and you would like prayer, as we go into this next song, I just want to invite you to come and to stand at these altars, to come kneel at them. And one of our pastors, one of our elders will come and pray with you. Because we're also here to be able to support each other and be there for each other. So if you specifically feel like you just want prayer for that, you can even begin making your way out now, and we'll make sure that we pray for you as we go into this song. So Heavenly Father, we thank you so much God, that first off, you have given us new life. Simply by believing in your name, you've given us new life. God, and because you've given us new life, you're also renewing our minds. Lord, and I know that the battle of the mind can be intense at times. I know it can be discouraging. God, but I pray that you would help every single one of us. You've given us the tools. You've given us the resources. You've given us your word, which is transforming, which understands the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God, it reads us. It knows us. You've given us that to speak into our lives, to speak into our thoughts. And so I pray, God, for those that maybe have just felt like it's been a rough year or a rough week with the mind, God, would you bring the peace that you so freely offer? Would you bring the peace in the midst of anxiety? God, if there are those that have been struggling with depression, God, and sadness or loneliness, God, I pray that they would sense the presence of their loving Father in a special way, that they would know that they're not alone, that they're never alone, because you're always with us, and you promise you're never gonna leave, you're never gonna forsake us. God, if temptation has constantly been knocking at our door and we feel overwhelmed and we feel like we the only relief we can get in our mind is to give in to the temptation, God, I thank you that you have equipped us and that you have empowered us, and I pray that you would help us to be disciplined in our minds as we partner with your Holy Spirit in becoming more like Jesus. God, that condemnation when we fail wouldn't drive us further from God, but the conviction of the Holy Spirit would draw us in and would bring that lasting change in our lives. God, whatever it is that's needed in this room, I thank you that you are the answer and you've provided it. And we thank you for that and bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.